Hello lovely faces, you're listening to the Regular Parent Podcast with me, Fee Star Stone, sharing stories of regular families and their daily lives. In this episode, I'm talking all about temper tantrums and how to cope and keep your cool. We've all been there, haven't we? They always happen in the worst of places, don't they? It's like they know where to throw these tantrums. The supermarket aisle, yeah. I've had one of those, not me, myself, although I felt like having many a tantrum in a supermarket, but know my little ones, you know, and there's people staring and you feel upset and stressed and your little one's upset and stressed. So I'm going to tell you very quickly how to cope and keep you cool with the tantrums that come. Oh, the toddler years. And they keep going, don't they? They keep going. Now, temper tantrums come in all shapes and sizes, from those very first toddler tantrums to the older child crying tantrums. These emotional outbursts can involve spectacular explosions of anger, frustration and upset that just leave even the most chilled parent feeling on edge. The most common tantrum can be anything from kicking or throwing or full-on screaming. They can throw themselves on the floor or they could even run away. And in some cases, children can hold their breath or vomit. But I'm going to talk more about that later. How do we cope with tantrums and what is the best advice for coping and keeping our cool as parents? Let's start by looking why tantrums happen. So tantrums are very common in children aged 1 to 3. Yep, they start as early as 1. They happen for many reasons, but mainly, and this is toddlers in particular, it's about not getting what they want or it's a pure lack of communication. During the toddler years, your little one is at an age where communication is still developing. This can cause terrible frustration. It's really upsetting for them when they cannot communicate what they want. Another factor for the tantrum is tiredness or hunger or boredom or overstimulation or upset or jealousy or worry or stress and separation anxiety. These are all factors that contribute to the tantrum. So, in a word, pretty much everything can cause a tantrum in those early years. So how do we avoid the temper tantrums? Well, listening back to that list, you're going to have to be super lucky to have not experienced 1 or 2 tantrums in your lifetime as a parent. It's pretty hard to avoid those situations. Kids get tired, kids get frustrated. And in the toddler years when communication is at a struggling point, it's highly likely your little one's going to have a temper tantrum. To reduce those temper tantrums and to make them less likely, try and reduce the causes as much as possible and identify the triggers in your little one. Older kids talk about big feelings and talk about why it's totally okay and normal to have those feelings. It's not okay to lash out at other people or break things. These conversations can actually be had really early on, but go by your own little one and their stage of development. Plan your days well. I'm going to say it again. I say it all the time, but routine really is the magic key here. So if your toddler normally naps in the afternoon, maybe avoid the supermarket shop or toddler group if they're absolutely wiped out. Tiredness and tantrums go hand in hand. Preparation is key. So always prepare your child for activities in advance. So let them know what you're going to do and when you're going to do it so they have a chance to understand. If they're in the middle of an activity and you're right, come on, shoes on, off we go, a tantrum is going to be highly likely. Always give a 5-minute warning when a particular activity is going to end. Little ones really can't accept it's time for tea right now when they're building an awesome tower or maybe they're looking at their favourite TV show. And if you say it's bedtime right now with no warning, this is usually when tantrums occur. If your little one has advance notice and advance warning, they're much less likely to kick off. As for the tantrums that occur over toys, which is all the time, encourage your little one to share as soon as you can. Even from a really young age in the toddler years, if you socialise your little ones at play groups and clubs so they become accustomed to sharing toys and taking turns, there'll be no doubt squabbles still, but they will have a better understanding and understand what you mean when you say share and take it in turns. By encouraging your little one to share from the baby years, you'll soon be setting off to stress-free play dates. look at books as well about sharing and play games together that require taking it in turns. For older children, play board games together and activities that incorporate taking turns. This all helps them develop that understanding of sharing, taking it in turns, and making tantrums less likely. Now, come on, admit, parents, are you a bit of a tantrum thrower yourself when things don't go your way? Do you have older siblings that are likely to throw a tantrum? It's really important here that you, or others in your family, or older siblings, set a good example. Children, especially younger ones, follow examples, so ensure those around the little one behave in a positive way. If an older sibling behaves in a certain way, they will copy. So talk to older children about setting a good example and how important it is to behave well around their younger sibling who's still learning. And if you're a bit of a stropper yourself when things go wrong, check your behaviour around your little one. Now, tantrums always seem to be called toddler tantrums, but older kids have tantrums too. This isn't because of communication issues like in the toddler years, but usually because they just haven't yet learned more appropriate ways to express or, you know, manage their feelings in an appropriate way. Please, please remember that they're still learning. Even the 9-year-old epic tantrum thrower needs guidance and love to help them deal with those big emotions. A great way of getting them to get in tune with those big emotions and feelings is to get them to write down their thoughts. And it helps them understand those thoughts and those feelings. Shameless plug here, but my best-selling kids' journals are available on Amazon. I've got the Thinky Thoughts journal, which is a lockdown journal, but can be used at any time, really, and the Summer Thinky Thoughts journal. Both are less than a price of a coffee and a piece of cake. When things go wrong, and inevitably they will, tantrums happen, please do cut yourself some slack when they go wrong. Honestly, lovely faces, even me, with all my years of experience and qualifications, have kids who've thrown the odd wobble here and there. We've had some pretty epic temper tantrums during the toddler years, and even when they're a little bit older, we have a few tantrums too. So we've talked about avoiding the tantrum as best we can. Now, how do we cope with them? First off, breathe. Take a deep breath. You have got this. Keep calm. As frustrating as it is when kids go off like a little rocket, it's important to stay chill, super chill. Getting cross is only going to fuel the fire and escalate the emotions. So take some deep breaths. Wait a moment if you're feeling particularly wound up and remind yourself that you're not, that they're not doing this intentionally and on purpose to annoy you. They're little. They can't control that fire in their tummy when they're little. Just wait out that big, huge fireball moment and stay close to them so they know that you're there. Don't offer words of wisdom or give them a telling off because it's just not going to go in. If the tantrum is in full swing, it is absolutely pointless to be telling them off about what they're doing wrong. Save the talking, the chats for when they've calmed down and that they're more open to listening. Now, I have loads of people saying that you should never give in to a tantrum. As you know, for those that follow me, I'm not all about this way or, you know, my way or the highway. I'm about making an informed choice yourself as a parent. So use your judgment. Don't feel like a failure if sometimes you give in to a tantrum for an easy life. Use your own judgment when they're little. Remember, it's about sizing up the situation and seeing how you can deal with things. So if you're in the middle of a supermarket and your little one is asking for something and you're saying no and it's about to explode and you've still got loads of shopping to do, it's honestly fine to just give in for an easy life. When you give in over and over and over, that's when it becomes a problem. Frequent caving in sends a message that tantrums work to get their own way. The only time I'd say never to give in to a tantrum is if it's not safe to do so. So, for example, the big one, you've got to hold my hand to cross the road. They don't want to hold your hand to cross the road. You know, that goes without saying. Anything dangerous, do not give in. If it means you have to pick them up to cross the road, then that's fine if that's a way of giving in. But, yeah, use your judgment, honestly. Now, I see a lot of experts talking about timeout and sitting on naughty steps and I don't know, it's a tricky one, isn't it? If that works for you, then fine. But honestly, you don't really need to do that. timeout works when a child has completely lost control, if they're fighting or hurting or biting another child, it is important to remove them from that situation so they can calm down and think about what's happened or how they're feeling. But it's also helpful if you're in public and you need to both have time to calm down and remove from the situation without an audience. But seriously, nah, you don't need to use a naughty step. It can be as simple as moving them into a safe place, perhaps even another room with you while they calm down and while you both calm down. Just have a nice cuddle if they'll let you, and just reduce the whole stress of the situation. Again, don't give lectures while they're in that awful, terrible, upset state. Wait until they've calmed down before you can talk about feelings and talk about how hurting someone isn't okay, how throwing things isn't okay. And also don't demand that they apologise until they've calmed down, and don't force the issue. If they don't want to say sorry, don't make it a massive issue. They will say sorry eventually, even if it means something like drawing a little picture later when they've absolutely calmed down. After a tantrum, they're going to feel exhausted, confused and upset, and the last thing they need is a huge lecture about their behaviour. So we talked about avoidance techniques, and you know, with toddlers in particular, distraction is wonderful. So if you can see a situation arising that's going to lead to a temper tantrum, like fighting over a toy, for example, get in there quick, intervene and distract. For everyday situations such as getting dressed, or we all have the naked toddler that absolutely refuses to put their clothes on, or bath times or bedtimes, you know, if they've suddenly started tantruming over these normal routine things, then invent a new fun way of doing that particular activity, because it will really get them engaged again. Make a game of getting dressed and make it a race. Can you get your pyjamas for me from the drawer before mummy counts to 10 or before daddy counts to 15? Can you go and put all your stuff in the washing basket? That kind of thing. Now, with younger children, as I mentioned previously, communication is key here. So without the communication, there is a lot of frustration and temper tantrums do occur. They get particularly frustrated because their communication skills are not fully developed. So one thing I would suggest is looking into using baby sign to help with communication. I wrote my childhood and youth studies degree dissertation on this, on the benefits of using sign language with hearing children. I learnt so much about it, honestly, and I do harp on about it a lot. Now, baby sign is distinct from sign language, BSL, as it's used by hearing parents with hearing children to improve communication. It just involves simple, enhanced gestured signs that infants are taught in conjunction with spoken words. It honestly can really help reduce tantrums and frustrations, and it also helps develop language skills too. With my two, I just used really basic signs together with spoken words that included things like hungry or milk or drink and thank you and please, and just basic signs. And actually, you could make your own kind of little signs up too. It really worked wonders with my two. I could have that communication before the words came, and it really was brilliant at reducing tantrums. There are loads of YouTube tutorials on baby sign language, so go have a go, or like I say, make your own signs up. It's really good fun, actually. So I know in the intro I talked to you about breath holding, and honestly, it can be pretty scary to witness for a qualified professional like myself. So for parents, it can be especially scary. It's actually more common than you think. So breath holding, it's when a child stops breathing and because they've held their breath. Some can hold it up to 1 minute and even pass out, which can be absolutely terrifying. This can often happen with when they're frightened or like when they're having a tantrum, so when they're upset and they're angry. But it can also happen when a little one's shocked or in pain. Now, when they do this, they may turn blue, may go limp, or they may open their mouth as if they're about to cry, but no sound comes out. In young children, they don't usually do it on purpose, and it's often just a reaction completely out of their control. If this does happen with your little one, you need to just say, stay completely calm. I know it's feels pretty impossible at the time, but you really do need to comfort your child, stay calm, sit with them and reassure them in a calm voice. If they faint, just put them on their side and keep reassuring them. If they do this for the first time, you must call 999 if they've not had these episodes before. If they faint also and don't come around pretty quickly, or they're shaking and jerking, which could, you know, signify a seizure, and they're not breathing, obviously you've got to call 999. if your little one has started breath holding a lot and, you know, you're super concerned, you really do need to seek medical help. Although breath holding is super worrying to witness and very stressful, please be assured it is usually harmless and your little one will grow out of it by the time they're about 4 or 5. Now, I do hope these quick tips have helped you today, but I just want to end by saying, please don't worry. You've honestly got this. I know sometimes you're going to feel totally useless, totally overwhelmed, but always remember that tantrums are just totally normal and you are doing a great job. If you do ever have concerns about your child's behaviour and you feel that there's more to it than just a tantrum, it is advisable to seek some advice from a medical professional. If things really get out of control and there's perhaps more than 2 to 3 temper tantrums each day, or the tantrums become incredibly aggressive or intense, just pop to your GP for a chat about your concerns. And remember, I'm always here to chat. Follow me over on social media on Instagram at FeeStarStone and Twitter, or on my page on Facebook, which is Childcare is Fun. I share daily tips and quotes and ideas to make parenting that little bit more chilled. Thanks for listening to the Regular Parent Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and others, please do subscribe.